2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. Hey, and guess what? The Utah Jazz won. They won a game in their series against the Houston Rockets, 107-91. The Utah Jazz win. Oh, what a game for this team, and oh, what a game for Donovan Mitchell. Actually, oh, what a game for a lot of players in this team. Dallin Graff is joining me here on the Jazz Notes Podcast. It is, well, technically early Tuesday morning after the Jazz's victory. Jazz now down 3-1 in the series. We talk a lot about defining moments, or at least moments that make a difference to you. I know it sounds special, doesn't it? Okay. Anyway, I don't know about special, but it's something where you remember that, you know, if there's a defining moment or something, an image that you remember from that game. I have a couple in my mind, but Dallin, I want to start off with you. What's like one or two moments in this game where you watch that and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to remember that game for this moment right here? And I can name a few, but I'm going to start off with Dallin, who's joining me here on the Jazz Notes Podcast.
For me, it's definitely the Donovan dunk, where he's pulling the ball back from, you know, 10 feet away from him. It was Royce O'Neal gets the steal on Harden. They go on the fast break, and Royce doesn't throw him a very good lob, and Donovan, you know, pulls it back all the way and slams it. And that, to me, was like the moment of the game, you know, that was just like, yeah, the Jazz got this. Like, they're going to win this game. They had all the energy, all the momentum. And that was just kind of like the defining moment in my mind for how this game turned out.
I could sit and talk about Donovan's threes in this game, which were amazing, because that gave the Jazz, not only did it give them the lead back in the fourth quarter after they'd given up the lead in the third quarter, but I would probably have to say the defining moment for me in this game was late in the game and Derek Favors. Mm. They took Rudy Gobert out of the game. They left Derek Favors in the game. I want to say four straight possessions. They were actually different possessions, but the Jazz missed. Derek kept the ball alive, tipped it out, threw it out. Jazz missed again. Derek kept it alive, threw it out. Jazz missed again, and the Rockets hit it out of bounds. And what happens on the next thing? They find Derek for a dunk right under the basket. Derek Favors' hustle, to me, really defined this game, and it really defined that series, but also defined this game. The Jazz came out, and they hustled again. It's amazing what hustle will do for your team, and that's what they did tonight. They didn't particularly shoot very well in this game, especially in the second and third quarters, but they hustled, and they stayed in the game, and they're able to beat the Rockets in this game. Let's not forget, probably the other defining moment in this game for me was Jay Crowder, when he stole the ball, ran down, put it in, was fouled, and you can see on the Jumbotron in the arena that he is saying something like, I've got heart, or we have heart, or something like that. That seemed to be a defining moment, too, because Jay Crowder and Ricky Rubio were the two guys that really kept the Jazz in this game and made it possible for them to have a lead at the end of the first quarter, a lead at the half. And if they don't have that, where are the Jazz? Are they down at halftime? So it's a good thing that Jay and Ricky played so well in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, really, an overall a great game for the entire team. I mean, and especially when you look at, like, you look at the box score and the offensive impact or the lack thereof from Ingles and Gobert, you know, some of the bigger players on the team that you would think, you know, hey, if those guys, you know, 7 points combined for Ingles and Gobert and they got a win, I mean, you probably wouldn't have predicted that. But Crowder was huge, started tonight, had 23 points. Like you said, Rubio huge, O'Neal and Favors coming off the bench were big. I mean, I think a lot of guys just had a really good night. The team played their best game of the series, obviously, that, you know, got them the win. And you got to wonder what this means for them moving forward. Can they capture this energy, this momentum, this hustle, bring it back into Houston and, you know, extend this series even more?
Ricky Rubio had 11 points, 2 assists in the first quarter. Jay Crowder had 14 of his 23 in the first quarter. Again, enough can't be said about how they really carried this team early on. Donovan and Derek Favors and Royce O'Neal carried this team late into the fourth quarter. Donovan's threes were amazing. He's really carrying this team right now. We heard a lot of great things after game three about how much he carries this team, what a great leader he is. And that was coming from a veteran in Kyle Korver, who's been in the league for a long time. After the game tonight, Ricky Rubio, one of the few stars, you could say, who didn't go to the podium, who actually just stuck around to the locker room and talked to the rest of us, poor media fools or souls or whatever you want to say. And someone asked him about Donovan Mitchell and what kind of a leader he is for this team.
He's our guy. We trust him, and he's this most humble star I ever been around. And he asked for advice because he cares about it. And he just keep playing with heart, keep playing, showing us the way.
Heart was kind of a thing. That was kind of the theme tonight, especially with Ricky after the game. He talked about Donovan playing with heart. He talked about the team playing with heart. This team really came out, and they forced their way to a victory. When you look at the shooting numbers, they only shot 43% from the floor. So in reality, it was about heart tonight, and it was about hustle, something that the Jazz did not have in Games 1 and Games 2. They did have it in Game 3, but they didn't have enough offense. Tonight, they had enough offense to push them over the top. What did you think about Ricky's comments and Ricky's play, or anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, I think he's absolutely right. I mean, the Jazz willed themselves into a victory tonight. I mean, they just wanted it more, and you could tell by the way that they played. I loved how Donovan Mitchell responded to last game, game three, you know, missed the game-winning shot, but to come out with confidence, was still shooting the ball, didn't shoot the ball well in the first half of the game, but continued to, you know, put up shots, to put the effort in, obviously had the great second half, and to end up with 31 points and big moments, key moments in the second half to you know, get this victory. I just think, I mean, what Kyle has said about him, what Rubio said about him tonight, it's all true. I mean, he really is. It is crazy to me that we're talking about a second-year player here. I mean, I forget that when I think about Donovan Mitchell. You know, you just think he's one of these seasoned vets, you know, that has it all figured out. But, I mean, this is a guy that has barely, he has played two seasons in the NBA, and he's doing what he's doing, carrying a team like he is. It really is something special.
And he used one of those fundamental things in this game that got him going. You know, you could probably go back to youth basketball. And what does your coach tell you? Well, if you're not shooting well, go to the basket. See, just try something different. Drive to the basket, finish, you know, try something new. And that's what Donovan did tonight. He was struggling with his shot. He was struggling even driving to the basket. But just one time he drove to the basket and he scooped it up, got the shot to go. There was another time, I don't know if it was right after that, but it was really close to that. And then there was another time where he drove to the basket, but he didn't go all the way to the basket. He actually stopped, did an up fake, someone went for it, and then he buried a mid-range jumper, something you don't see a lot in the NBA, especially when you're talking about the Houston Rockets. They never shoot mid-range jump shots. But he stops for a mid-range jump shot, and he buries it. All three of those shots helped him get confidence for that fourth quarter, because in the fourth quarter, he came out on fire. He scores 19 of his 31 points. No, he wasn't a very efficient shooting, especially late in the game, but he buried all six of his free throws. He was 3-for-7 from the three-point line. This is a guy that understands the weight of carrying a basketball team. He did it last year. He's doing it again this year. He just needs a little bit of help. In this game, he got that help from some key guys.
Yeah, well, and really, this is what the Jazz need him to do. I mean, the way this team is set up, they need Donovan to be able to score 25-plus a night, especially against a team like the Rockets. And one thing that Hema and I talked about when we did the podcast last Tuesday was the Jazz needing another guy besides Mitchell and Gobert to hit that 20-point mark, you know, somebody else to contribute offensively. Tonight it was Jay Crowder, Rubio, 18, so right there too. But, you know, they're going to need somebody else to step up offensively besides Donovan and to take that pressure off of him. In the first half, it was Jay Crowder. It allowed Donovan to have some time to get going in the second half. And that's what they're going to need if they want to stay alive against Houston.
Ricky Rubio had the scoop shot working tonight. His outside shot was not working tonight, but he had the scoop shot going to the basket. I love, by the way, one of my favorite plays for the Utah Jazz right now is Ricky Rubio driving, going a little bit baseline, but then hurrying and doing a scoop shot on the other side with his right hand without moving it to his left hand at all. All right hand, scooping it up on the other side of the basket, one of my favorite plays. He ended up with 18 points, 11 assists in this game. Afterwards, he talked about, well, guess what? Hey, we're finally kind of in this series.
I felt like this series started for us today. We haven't shown what we capable to do the first two games. The other game at home, it was more the atmosphere helping us to get close. But with the way they play, we should have half won the game, and we didn't. But tonight we played perfectly. I think the game plan worked as we wanted, and we want more. It's not just one game, so we don't get swept or whatever. We go one game at a time, and I want to come back and play here again.
He also talked about how special this team is when things are working well for this team. But the only way the Jazz are going to be special is just like what you talked about. Some of the other guys are going to have to step up. Joe Ingles, one of their better outside shooters, was 1-for-4 in this game, only had 3 points. By the way, he was still in good spirits in the locker room afterwards because he had his daughter on the phone and he was talking to her, I think, via FaceTime. Rubio stepped up, of course, tonight. He had 18 points. But as you said, Gobert only had 4 points in this game. The other outside shooter only played 2 minutes tonight, and that's Kyle Korver. He's really been kind of shut out in this series, but that might be partially because he's not as healthy as he could be. The rest of the Jazz guys who aren't known for shooting are going to have to shoot well if they want to bring this series back to Salt Lake for a game six. So that's going to be on them, and I think that they understand that. The one thing is that the heartening thing is for a victory tonight, you got good Jay Crowder, you got good Ricky Rubio tonight. That's not always the case. These guys are two of the streakiest shooters that you'll find in the NBA, or if not, if you don't want to say that, they're two of the streakiest shooters on the Jazz team right now.
Yeah, well, I think one thing the Jazz figured out tonight is this defensive scheme that they've been trying and testing in the first couple games. Tonight, they really figured it out. Gobert favors were great in the paint, preventing, you know, the lob to Capella from Harden. And then the rotation defensively, guys were hustling, getting to the open shooters, preventing open threes, contesting threes. I mean, I feel like defensively they've figured out this scheme that they've been working with. And you've got to hope that they can take what they were able to do tonight and then in game five be able to, you know, build on it, continue what they were able to do. Obviously, Houston's going to respond. There will have to be some adjustments, but I think that's the biggest thing for me. Offensively, obviously a good night, but to me, I mean, holding Houston to 91 points, I don't know how many teams have done that this year. So you've got to be happy about that, and you've got to feel good that, hey, things are maybe starting to click here. Maybe we have something figured out. Maybe we're going to be able to continue to do this and, you know, throughout this series.
Let's not forget the fourth quarter of Royce O'Neal. He was also important late in the game. He ends up with 11 points and 11 rebounds in this game. Talking about Houston, they only shot 35% from the game. They only scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. Jazz, fantastic defense in that fourth quarter. Here's the amazing stat, and I know this is nothing new. I know this has been talked about through the whole entire season with the NBA because it's the Houston Rockets. They had 28 made field goals tonight, okay? only 11 of those field goals were two-point shots. 17 of them were three-point shots. This is a team that relies heavily on the three-pointer, and when they're making it, they're hot. That's what happened. Even though James Harden was not hot in Game 3, the rest of the team was. That was the difference here. James Harden was actually hot. He was 6 of 12 from three-point land and ended up with 30 points in this game. Chris Paul also played well. He ended up with 23 points in this game. And Eric Gordon played well. He had 16 points in this game, including 5 three-pointers. 11 of their three-pointers came from two guys in this game. It was the fact that no one else really stepped up for the Rockets tonight and was able to provide any offense at all. And yes, you have to give credit to Utah's defense for that happening in this game. So good news for the Jazz. They're playing better on offense. They're playing better on defense. And now they're going back to Houston for Game 5. I don't think a lot of people are going to give the Jazz a lot of, much of a chance, I should say, to win this series. I'm not even sure any of them is going to give much of a chance for them to even come back to Salt Lake City coming up. It's really going to have to take a special effort from this Jazz team to play like they did tonight. Again, heart, hustle, defense, and just enough offense to pull one out in Houston. I don't know if we were on, and you've been on Rival before, Dallin, or you've at least produced it before. They play What Are the Odds every once in a while. They do it on Cougar Sports Saturday too, both on KSL News Radio. What are the odds the Jazz are coming back here to play in Salt Lake City? I'm putting you on the spot here. What are the odds that the Jazz are going to be playing back here in Salt Lake City? You can waffle as much as you want until you give me an answer.
I'm going to say 15%.
Not even a waffle right there. 15, he just went 15.
Yeah, 15%. Here's the thing. You've kind of maybe built some momentum here. You got the win. Sure. I mean, Houston's going to be at home. They're going to be energized. They don't want to come back to Salt Lake. So Houston's going to try to end this series, this next game. But if the Jazz can pull this off, and I think there's a 15% chance they do, but if they do and they get another Game 6 in Salt Lake, 3-2, back with this home crowd energy, I mean, we could be looking at a 7-game series. I really think that if the Jazz can pull off a win in Game 5, there's a legitimate shot at a Game 7. And obviously only three teams that have ever been down 3-0 have even got to a Game 7. Nobody's come back and won that series. This is going to be a really tough task. But if they can do what they were able to do defensively today, they're able to, take what they were able to do in this game, continue it in the next, get some production from other guys, whether it's Ingles stepping up a little bit more, Rubio, Crowder, O'Neal, there's a shot, but it's going to be really hard.
If I'm the Houston Rockets, even though you lose tonight, you'd love to have closed it out, I think that their formula is still working. They're keeping the shooters down. They're forcing Donovan into some mistakes. They'll live with Donovan being hot for 1.5 quarters. They just don't want him to be hot for the whole entire game. And the two guys that are the streakiest shooters that we've already talked about here on the podcast had breakout games. They're probably thinking, odds are, it's not going to continue that way. So if you're the Rockets, you're probably feeling pretty good. Wow, you said 15%? I'm starting to readjust. I was going to say 25. I'll stick with 25.
I was going to adjust,
but I'm going to say I think there's a 25% chance that this series comes back to Salt Lake. I want to go back to one thing that Ricky said real quickly. He said, I want to come back and I want to play here. If you understand Ricky Rubio, and I think a lot of fans do, yes, there's a lot of consternation with Ricky right now. I'm on the Ricky Rubio fan club, but I don't know if he's a best fit for the Utah Jazz with the team that they have right now. So I think maybe he needs to go to another team that has a lot more shooting, and I think he would be fantastic there. But I would probably say when it comes to Ricky right now, the one thing is that he has so much aggression right now. He wants to play so well because this is his – I mean, how long has he been in the NBA, and this is only the second time he's been in the playoffs? There's a reason he wants to come home and play in front of Utah fans again. There's a reason he wants to continue to win because he's not used to it after playing years in Minnesota. Yeah, maybe he was used to it when he played for the Spanish national team or when he was young and he was playing over in Europe, he was probably used to it. But really, his 2 years here and him being featured here by Quinn Snyder, it's a way different feeling than anything he's ever felt before. There's a big reason why he's saying, yeah, I want to play in front of these fans again. They love me. I love playing here. I love Quinn. I love this team. That's the one thing that I think is keeping these guys going now, is that they're playing for each other and they really want to continue on and see how long they can take this, because I think the majority of them know it's going to be different next year for this team.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, the Jazz's whole thing, the hashtag this year, team is everything. It's always been about the team as a unit. I think they're one of the best units in the NBA. You can tell that they're close. You can tell that they play for each other. And tonight's an example of that. And going forward, that's what this team is built around. And I think you're right. You know, you have guys like Favors and Rubio that have been mentioned in trades, that have been mentioned, you know, replacing them, finding different, you know, fits there. And so, yeah, I mean, this may be the last time these guys get to play together. You know, some of these guys may be on other teams. So it maybe that's part of the motivation to, like, hey, you know, let's keep this going. Let's get back to Salt Lake, play another game and extend this series a little more. And I don't know. There's a shot. There's a shot.
Telling me there's a chance.
There's always a chance. And at the very least, for these young players, for guys like Royce and Donovan, you know, for Gobert, who's still fairly young, this is just good experience to play a quality team like Houston, to, you know, have more games in the playoffs, you know, kind of gets that fire going, makes you want to get back there the next year and advance even further. So all of this is great. The longer they can make this series, obviously, the better for them. And just experience-wise, playing as a team is going to be beneficial.
I know we need to wrap up here, but you mentioned how Rudy Gobert didn't quite have the game that he probably wanted. I don't really think that that's a bad thing for Gobert. This guy thrives on adversity. And he didn't have his problem. Well, you know what? I'm saying a good game. I'm saying a good offensive game. He actually had a good defensive game.
Absolutely.
And I also think he was probably celebrating Derek Favors playing so well in the fourth quarter. Again, you saw the reason why the Jazz didn't want to trade him away. He is so valuable when Gobert either has off nights, and he's so valuable with that second team. Expect Rudy Gobert to come back pretty strong in this next game. But Derek Favors, he's Mr. Steady. It's so funny because every time we think this guy's going to be traded, he doesn't go anywhere, and he just seems to keep getting more valuable for the Jazz the longer he stays.
Yeah, he keeps convincing me that the Jazz should keep him. I've been on this, like, oh, we should get somebody else at that fourth spot, and then he is so good that it's just like, well, no, they really should keep him. I like seeing what he does, you know. On paper, it doesn't make sense in my mind, but then you see him play and the hustle that he gives, and he, like you said, consistent. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and he has not said anything about being benched the last two games, coming off the bench, and he was rewarded tonight. He was a big reason why the Jazz win this game. By the way, I think we buried actually the lead of this whole entire podcast, and that is that James Harden actually was called for traveling in this game.
Yes, we totally, you know, we talked a lot about the Jazz, which is great, but yeah, the biggest storyline coming out of game four is apparently you can call a travel on James Harden.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know if it'll happen again, at least in this playoff series. I don't know if it'll happen again in the rest of the playoffs, because I think both of us expect the Houston Rockets to move on. I just don't know. You know, it's just an amazing thing. Everyone, write this down in their diary. We watched James Harden actually travel in a game. So
NBA history.
It's
happened tonight.
Fantastic. That's an old NBA fantastic. I'm really old. I think we're both really tired, and we need to go home and go to bed. Thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. It is powered by KSLSports.com. You can find it on the KSL Sports website. You can also find it on the KSL News Radio app. Or you can find it on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, all those other places you can find the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll have another podcast coming up soon, probably in between games 4 and 5. And then we'll have another one after game 5 coming up on Wednesday. For Dallin Graff, my name's Cleon Wall. This has been the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk to you soon.